Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. I acknowledge that I'll be releasing my Texas floods episode a little bit late, but my opinions and the points stated in the episode are still valid, at least to the best of my ability when it comes to like the numbers and stuff, but like the opinions are still mine and I still believe them. And we should still be praying for those families, because even after all those waters recede, that much water, especially coming in that quickly, is going to cause a lot of damage. And it's going to also lead to a lot of trauma. I know that word gets overused, but this is a case where it is warranted. It's going to cause a lot of trauma for a lot of children, especially those who are at the camps or who had siblings who were at camp when the flood came in. This type of flood is a very rare occurrence from what I've gathered. Like floods have happened before, but on this scale it is unprecedented, or nearly so, from everything I've read. That summer camp, the Camp Mystic, it was around for 100 years almost before this happened. It was founded in 1926, I believe. Yes, we should still pray for those people, and we should still remember that they are human too, regardless of politics. Now I want to get into my thoughts on the ruling that churches can endorse candidates and political causes. I think this is good. I do understand the concern about letting things get in the way of worshiping God and spreading his message. So I do understand that there is a concern that politics could get in the way, and that people might make an idol of politics, but some people already do that anyway. And I don't believe that this new rule is going to cause enough of that to outweigh the benefits, because the benefits are very clear. We live in a very polarized time. The other side, not everybody on that side, don't get me wrong, but the far left, the socialists, they want to get in the way of God's kingdom. We saw that last administration, most notably with the several pro-lifers who were peacefully protesting and got thrown in jail because of it. We've seen in other countries too, like in the UK, we've seen people who were praying outside of child murder clinics and got arrested just for silently praying. Like, they may not even been praying out loud, they might have been just silently praying and they got arrested. So yes, churches do need to get involved, because the thing is, you do hear some Christians, like not even churches but individual Christians, who will say, oh well, I shouldn't be involved in politics because it's not, you know, it's not good to be involved in politics, or I don't like it, or I don't care, or this or that. But the thing is, if we Christians are not involved in politics, now, as I said, we shouldn't let it come between us and God, obviously, just like anything else, shouldn't make an idol out of it. But if we don't get involved in politics, the other side will. If we don't stand up for what we believe in, we cannot rely on those who do stand up to stand up for us. If we sit back on the sidelines, if we just forfeit the game, we're going to lose. And that can potentially be catastrophic. There are countries out there where just owning a Bible is a crime. In places like North Korea and large parts of the Middle East, it is a crime to have a Bible. In North Korea and some of those Middle Eastern countries, and in even a lot of the Middle Eastern countries that don't outright say that having a Bible is a crime, worshiping God can have a lot of risks. And even in places where the law might not specifically forbid that, or the law might not be directly enforced against Christians, there are places where the government doesn't have to act, because other groups do. Terrorist groups can threaten people, make them feel unsafe. There was a school kidnapping in Nigeria in 2014. A group called Boko Haram kidnapped, I believe it was over 100 girls from a Christian school in Nigeria. I'm not saying that these are the kinds of things that would definitely happen if we're not involved in politics, but we do have to remember that. And I'm not saying that what happens in those countries is because those Christians were not involved. Sometimes you're a small enough minority that no matter what you do or say, you're going to get stepped on. Like, unfortunately, that's the way it is, especially in places that aren't always as stable as the U.S., places that have coups and such. But I am saying that we do need to keep that in mind. Because if we as Christians are not involved in politics, we cannot count on those who do get in the fray to keep our best interests in mind. That's also why I say we cannot rely on politicians to solve our problems. We cannot rely on someone else to always, who is not God, obviously, to always have our best interests at heart. The only other person, I guess he's a spirit, but the only other being you can rely on to always have your best interests at heart is God. If you have a good family that you can rely on to have your best interest in mind, great. I can say I do, pretty much. And I'm sure a lot of y'all can, but unfortunately there are some people who cannot rely on that, whose parents just walk out on them or actively abuse them. And so it's the same way here. No matter what government you live in, no matter if you live here or if you live in Uzbekistan or the UK, you cannot rely on your government to know to have your best interests at heart, either individually or the entire like interest of the group that you belong to, whether you're talking about the interest of all Christians or all women or anything. You have to do your own research. You have to get involved. You don't have to be the person who is waving the flags and marching along and leading the chants at every protest and every demonstration. But you do need to at least be informed about the system you live in and the people who run it and the people who are running for office. You don't have to write a term paper about every single one of them. I wouldn't read it anyway. But you do need to at least do some level of research before you vote and before you sign on to any cause or group or initiative. And so, in summary, my thoughts on this announcement about church endorsements is this. I am fine with it. I think churches need to be involved in politics, and pastors need to be involved in politics, because if Christians don't stand up for what's best, not only what's in our best interest, but more importantly, for what is in God's best interest, the best interest of His kingdom. If we don't stand up for that, and we don't use the resources He gave us to do so, then we cannot rely on those who will get involved, those who are not Christian, those who either actively don't have our best interest at heart or who just don't care about us. You know, we cannot rely on them to have our, to keep us safe and to respect our beliefs. I will grant that churches need to still put God first, that politics should not be the church should not turn into a political club per se. The church should not devote all of its resources to political campaigns and candidates and causes. But the church should, with discernment, should weigh in on the issues that matter most when it comes to God's kingdom and to the people, to his people. Like, for example, you know, the issue of murder in the womb, you know, that the church should be able to condemn that without fear of retaliation. And so I think that is good. And I think that if, you know, if the church uses discernment, this can be a good thing. And I forgot to mention that earlier, but the church should use discernment. I'm not necessarily saying that because the church is now free to give political endorsements that it should speak out on every issue known to man. I'm not necessarily saying that at all, because again, it's a church. Its main purpose is God's house. Its main purpose is to serve him and his kingdom. And reaching the lost is part of that as well. So I can also see where the church might decide that even though the Bible is very clear on a certain issue, in the interest of reaching the lost, that might not be the best issue to focus on. However, comma, I do also understand that just getting butts in seats is not enough, because, you know, that's what a lot of churches have done over the years. They've hollowed out, they've gone to the left, trying to get more butts in seats, not offend anyone. And in the process of that, they have sacrificed God's message for people that often don't even stay. Like, a lot of those churches that have gone to the left, they're not well attended. Or the people who do attend them, more of them are older. And unfortunately, they won't be filling those pews forever. So, essentially, my assessment in a nutshell is, this is good that the church has this freedom. They should have always had this freedom, but they should use discernment when exercising that right. The Constitution grants us the right to freedom of speech, but just because you're legally allowed to say something doesn't mean you necessarily should. So if I had to label my stance on this new rule, that stance would essentially be, I'm in the middle, but I lean more towards supporting it. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this episode or considered it to be food for thought. You can find this podcast on Spotify, Amazon Music, the RSS feed, Audible, iHeartRadio, and Pandora and Apple Podcasts. You can also contact us on our Facebook page at Jesse's Fireside Chats and on X at JFSC Pod. You can also send us an email if you'd like at jessesfiresidechats@gmail.com. That's JESSEAS firesidechats@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. Please pass this along to anybody you know that might be interested. And I hope you'll come back next time. Have a blessed day. I also forgot to mention that we also have a Ko-fi page, so if you'd like to support us, you can do so at Ko-fi, KOFI.com/Jesse's Fireside Chats. Once more, I hope you have a blessed day.